Okay, well, this morning we're going to look at this amazing story of what Easter is all about. And this story is like a bookend story of two gardens. It starts in a garden and it ends in a garden, the story that we're going to look at this morning. And first of all, in the garden, Jesus and his disciples had the Last Supper together. And he said to the disciples, I can't wait to have this meal with you. It means so much to me. It's the last time we're all going to eat together. And they have the Last Supper. And after that, they all go out to the garden. And when they go to the garden is called the Garden of Gethsemane. And there in the garden, Jesus leaves his friends and goes aside with his closest friends and then goes off to pray by himself. And he prays by himself because he knows all that's going to be ahead of him. And he knows that for the first time in the whole of all eternity, he is about to be separated from his Father to be able to carry the sins of the whole world. And he's facing this daunting prospect. And there in the garden, he begins to pray. And he says, Father, if there is any other way around this, if there is any other plan B, then let me know now. And he prays and he prays again and he prays again. And he is in great anguish and turmoil because Jesus knew it was like he was about to go through a tunnel of experience that he had to just trust that God was with him, would not abandon him, and that when he came out the other side, God would truly be there with him. And he was about to put himself in the hands of the Father in a deeper way now than ever before. And he wondered, at this moment, is there another way? And he waited, and there was no other plan. And so because of the ache in his heart that was love for us, he said, Father, your will. And at that moment, he committed himself to the plan, that he would set his face to this plan, to go through this tunnel of experience by himself out of love for us. And in the garden, he went back to his friends and he said, the time has come. And at that moment, suddenly soldiers and chief priests and a whole crowd of men turned up with swords and clubs in the garden. And among them, who should there be but one of Jesus' very own disciples, Judas. And as everybody waited and the tension mounted, Judas came up to Jesus and there betrayed his master with a kiss. And all the soldiers knew this was the sign. In the darkness and in the confusion, who was the man to take away? It was the man that would be kissed. And with that kiss of friendship, Judas betrayed his master. And Jesus was carried off in the night, and he was carried off to a false trial. And there he went to this trial that they tried to find witnesses that would stand against Jesus. They weren't allowed to do a trial at night, but through the night this trial began. And they began to abuse Jesus and to spit on him and to hit him. And the Bible tells us that Jesus chose to be dumb, that he chose to say no word. At any moment, he could have called on angels to rescue him, but he chose to stay silent. Why did he choose to stay silent? He was silent because he had made that choice to go through that dreadful tunnel experience because of his love for us. And he would not turn back, and he wouldn't speak up, and he wouldn't ask for rescue, but he was determined to see it all the way through to the end. And so after they had done this, the morning came and Jesus had been sent to Pilate and Herod and Pilate. And finally, Pilate stood up in front of all the people and said, I can't find anything wrong in this man. He is innocent. And Pilate there stood in front of all the crowd who were shouting, crucify, crucify, wanting the death sentence for Jesus. And Pilate was anxious because he knew he had to please the people. But at the same time, he knew that Jesus was innocent. And his wife had been up all night with a terrible dream and sent a message quickly to him. And they ran and he opened up the message, and the message said, have nothing to do with this man's death because he is innocent. And so in front of all the people, Pilate took a bowl of water and he washed his hands in front of all the people and said, Jesus' blood is not on my hands. I'm not responsible for his death. And at that point, he gave him over to be flogged. And it was a terrible thing that they took Jesus away and they flogged him. And many people would die just from a flogging. But Jesus was still alive after this dreadful flogging. And the soldiers took him aside and put a scarlet robe around his shoulders and a crown of thorns on his head. Said, "You think you're king of the Jews? Hey, look, see if you can rescue yourself." And they began to hit him and punch him and spit on him. And all this time, Jesus, the king of the whole world, said nothing. He said nothing because he was determined to go all the way through this terrible experience because of his love for us. He would not quit. He wouldn't give up. He was determined. He set his face that he trusted that God would be there at the other end. They decided to make Jesus carry his own cross, but he was so weak by this time that he couldn't carry it. And they pulled a guy out of the crowd called Simon of Cyrene, and he carried the cross. I bet Simon was worried that someone might get confused and he might end up on this cross himself. But for Jesus, he carried this cross and dragged it to a place called the Place of the Skull, Golgotha. There they nailed Jesus to the cross, and they erected the cross. And there's two robbers dying with him. And they put a sign on the cross saying, "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews." Little did they know that that was exactly the truth. This is Jesus, the King of the Jews. In fact, it kind of missed out that he was the King of the entire universe as a man on a tree, with a crowd standing around. And as the crowd watched on, there were many people in that crowd. There were people in that crowd who were once blind, but now they could see Jesus on the cross. There were people in that crowd who once would have had to stay at home because they couldn't walk, but their legs had been healed, and now they could walk and they could see Jesus on the cross. And there were people who were usually outside the city because they had leprosy, but they were cured. And now they, with everyone else, stood in that crowd and watched Jesus on the cross. And many, many people stood there in that crowd with their heart aching, thinking, "What is happening? I don't think this is the ending that is meant to happen. I don't think our Savior is meant to be nailed to a cross. What is happening here?" And others, the chief priests and the teachers and the elders, they stood there and mocked. They had planned this for so long. They had waited for it. They had plotted for it. They couldn't wait to get rid of Jesus. And here he was finally nailed like a piece of meat to a cross. And they were so pleased. And they stood there in their arrogance and they mocked him and they spat. And Jesus said nothing because he loved us so much. Even at that point, he could have called his Father from heaven. The plan is off. But he decided to go through with it. And after some hours, the whole sky went dark. And everyone was frightened because it wasn't supposed to be dark. And Jesus cried out. And at that moment, he gave his spirit up to God. And Jesus there on the cross knew that the final moment had come. And he was about to surrender his spirit to God and trust and hope in faith that God, his Father, would take him through this journey of the next 3 days and bring him alive again. And he put his whole trust in the Father at that moment, that as he was there on the cross, he died for everything that we've ever done wrong. Why did someone have to die? The things that we've done wrong, we all know that we've done things wrong. When we're born, who taught us to do things wrong? We knew all by ourselves. And the things that we've done wrong separate us from heaven. But God loves us so much that separation tears at his heart. He doesn't want that separation. He wants us to live a journey of life with him now and through all the way into eternity. So he said there has to be a plan. Somebody who's never sinned will have to die on behalf of the human race. And that person was Jesus. And Jesus came down to earth in the body of a man, that he would live among us to show us what God was like, that he would go all the way to the cross to die in our place, that at that point there would be a new way to be able to get back to God. And at that point in the darkness, when he gave up his spirit, there was a big curtain in the temple that went and it was torn in two. And when that curtain was torn in two, it meant open path to God for you and me. Open path. That was the moment when Jesus gave up his spirit and the curtain was torn. It says full access to God. We don't have to be far away anymore. But somebody has finally died for everything you and I ever did wrong. When it was dark and the earth shook and the rocks split, the centurion and the other soldiers around the cross had never, ever seen this before. Usually there was wailing and trouble, but here there is an earthquake, the rocks split, it's gone dark, and says the soldiers were absolutely terrified, and the centurion, who was a bit of a hard boy, exclaimed, "Surely he was the Son of God." And around that cross, the soldiers realized they had never seen anything like this before in any crucifixion ever. But actually something larger was going on when the whole of nature shook at that moment and they realized that he was God. At that moment, as they took Jesus down off the cross and the other robbers, and it was evening time, a rich man called Joseph of Arimathea, who was a follower of Jesus, asked Pilate if he could take the body. And Pilate agreed that that was okay. And so they wrapped Jesus' body in a clean linen cloth, and Joseph went and placed it in a brand new tomb that he had cut out of the rock. And they rolled a big stone in front of the tomb and went away. But the chief priests the next day were very worried, and they went to ask Pilate. And they were a little unnerved by what had happened. They were there mocking at the foot of the cross, but when the sky turned black and the earthquake happened and the curtain was ripped in two, they realized possibly they were backing the wrong team. And they were really worried about this. And they went to Pilate and they said, "Look, Jesus said that he would rise again in 3 days. We're a bit concerned that maybe somebody will steal his body and create a hoax. So could there be a guard on the tomb?" And Pilate agreed, and a guard was sent. And they sealed the tomb and they set a guard around the tomb that nobody could approach. Nobody could steal the body, but Jesus would be sealed inside, and there would be no hoax, and it wouldn't be allowed. And so the guard were there around the tomb. They would talk to each other about the events that they'd seen. They were unnerved by the goings on, but also it was really boring shift work, just looking after a dead body and a tomb. And so they're there taking their shifts and looking after the tomb area. And then suddenly on the third day, an amazing thing happened. There was a violent earthquake, and an angel was sent from heaven, rolled away the stone, and bright light shone everywhere. And the soldiers were so terrified, it says that they fell like dead men. Later, when they came around, they were shocked that they had not been defeated by the sword or by an enemy, but actually by an angel. They looked in the tomb, and the tomb was empty. In their fear, they ran back to the chief priests to say what had happened, and they said, "You better cover this up quickly." And they were bribed with money to say that the disciples took the body. And so early that morning, Mary and Martha go to the tomb and they're chatting. They're on their way with spices to be able to embalm the body. And they're on their way. And as they talk, they say, "Who will roll away the stone?" Not knowing that it has been rolled away already. So when they arrive at the garden, they find the tomb empty. Can you imagine that? They've seen Jesus die on the cross, safely sealed in the tomb, but now it's empty. You never see this, apart from when Lazarus came out of his tomb and the tomb was empty. And could this possibly have been a rehearsal for the main event? Could this have been a sign? Could this be something that they realize that Jesus, their master, is raised from the dead? And so as they get to the tomb, an angel appears to them. And he says, "Don't be afraid. Jesus is not here. He is risen. He is alive. He defeated death. He went through that tunnel. He committed himself. He put himself in God's hands. He went all the way through and come out the other side. And he is alive. He is risen." Now Mary stood outside the tomb crying. She was devastated. She couldn't take it in. Has Jesus really risen? Or has somebody taken him? Why aren't the soldiers here? Why is the seal broken? And she was crying in the garden. And here we are, back in a garden. And then the gardener says to her, "Woman, why are you crying? Who are you looking for?" And she says through her tears, "Sir, if you have carried him away, Then tell me where you've put him so I can go and fetch him. And at that moment, the gardener said, Mary. Only one person said her name like that. Only one person said her name with such love in his voice. Only one person had ever known her and loved her as a person on this earth like that. And it was Jesus. And she looked through her tears and turned around. Master, teacher, she said, is it really you? She couldn't believe what she was seeing. She had seen him crucified on the cross and taken down and put in the tomb. But here he was alive. And she was so amazed. Go and tell my brothers and Peter, said Jesus. Go and tell them. Mary didn't know what to do because she wanted to stay, but she wanted to tell everybody as well. And she most of all wanted to do what the master said. And she ran and told the disciples. They couldn't believe it. They didn't believe it. And Peter, as we know, is so impetuous. He ran to the tomb first and he bent over and saw the strips lying there. And he was totally amazed and went away in wonder that Jesus had risen from the dead. And starting today is our brand new series called What Happened Next. And over the next 5 weeks, we're going to look at what happened next after the tomb, after the disciples heard. What happened next? And we discover that Jesus walked and talked among his people for several weeks after he rose from the dead. And there's many, many accounts of how Jesus met with people. But the amazing thing is this. When Jesus came back alive, he changed everything. He rewrote the rules. He changed everything. He went through a tunnel of death, trusting that God would be with him, and came out the other side alive. He changed everything. That you and I need never fear death, because Jesus came to die for all that we've done wrong. That as we put our faith and trust in him and follow him, our life is completely transformed. The power that raised Jesus from the dead is now inside us to change and transform our lives. And then one day when we die, we will find ourselves in eternity with him, with a brand new body, with nothing to fear. Every trial we go through in life, Jesus has been through it already. Every trial that we go through, when we go through a tunnel of trial, Jesus knows what that's like, even deeper than us. And he is with us and walking through us every step to the very end. And his power is there to change us. Let's pray. Amazing grace even. Very appropriate. Thank you. Lord Jesus, we are just amazed at what you did for us. That you made a choice because you love us so much. Lord, we are so grateful that you would die for us. That we have no fear. That you forgive us for everything we ever did wrong. Lord, I thank you that curtain ripped from top to bottom. That we have free access to the Father. And Lord, we pray that on this Easter day, we'll be full of celebration. Whatever we go through in this life, you are with us. And one day that will carry on into eternity, that we live with you forever. Lord, I pray for your blessing upon every person here today and all these just wonderful children out in Sunday school. Lord, we pray for every child in our area here. We pray, Lord, that they will know your love and grow up to follow your way, that you have such great plan and purpose for their lives, that you will protect them from harm. And Lord, we just celebrate what you have done and thank you for that amazing grace on our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.